Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, December 1st, 2022, 1 John.
All right, first thing first, tomorrow will be Chris Builder's birthday tomorrow. He is the pizza, the best pizza maker in Las Vegas. And he is right now, they opened a new pizza shop and out by our place. And so he is working his patootie off right now. So happy birthday to Chris tomorrow. And I am looking forward, I've been looking forward to teach this class in 1 John 3:15. For many, many believers, this is they have a hard time with 1 John 3:15. It's actually a slam dunk. And for you who have been here all the way through in 1 John, it'll be a slam dunk. And if you haven't been here all the way through in 1 John, well, I went back and redid this, and I'm going to take you through 1 John so that you can learn. If you didn't learn it before, we'll go over it again and again. And when we get done, you'll have it. And if you don't have it, you're too damn arrogant. And that's your problem, but that's not God's problem. This is a great verse, and 1 John is a great epistle. Nobody communicates truth the way that the Apostle John did. He's totally different than the Apostle Paul. And of course, the Apostle Paul was a genius. But the Apostle John was also right up there, one of the great, great communicators of the Word of God. And he was also the one apostle that the Lord Jesus Christ personally loved to be around, because John got it. Peter didn't for a long time, till he got near the end, and eventually he finally caught it at the very end of his ministry. But John got it right from the get-go. And all the way through, what you have in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, what you have is what Jesus Christ taught when he was here at the first advent. So, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. Therefore, open the Word of God to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word. That spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, this is the first day of December, and I'll give you a heads up. We have a unique month this year. Christmas Day falls on a Sunday. New Year's Day falls on a Sunday. So there will be a new dispensation as we go through the month of December and New Year's Eve. There's no way in hell we're going to have class on New Year's Day. You would all come in with sunglasses. Not because there's any sun. But a local church has been designed by God primarily for believers to assemble so that they can grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we have every year one special Sunday where it's an opportunity for you to invite any relatives that are unbelievers, any friends that are unbelievers, any neighbors that are unbelievers, anybody that you would like to have hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. December 18th, Sunday, December 18th, invite all the unbelievers, because December 18th, the little people will be putting on their Christmas play. In fact, from starting tonight, they are practicing. And you won't see Debbie, or she is working with the kids preparing for the Christmas play. Every year it's fantastic, and I don't think it can ever get better than it was the last time, and it always is better. And not only that, but Randy and Dodie have, along with the little people, together have come up with a fantastic presentation for unbelievers. And the first of all will be number one, the kids putting on their Christmas play, and then that will be followed by this special presentation with the little people combined with a fantastic show. And so I have seen it. It's phenomenal. And it's perfect for you to bring unbelievers and have them hear the good news of the grace gospel of Jesus Christ. That's Sunday, December 18th. There will be no class on December 25th. Sunday, December 25th. That's Christmas Day. We're going to have that week classes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. 4 days during that week before Christmas Day on Sunday the 25th. So that week before Christmas Day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Then the next week, classes will be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then Saturday, there will be communion and a movie. Communion in a movie. Not late, early. And then you can go and wherever you go on New Year's Eve, do whatever you do on New Year's Eve, but there will be no class Sunday, New Year's Day. So that week before New Year's, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, then Saturday, communion and a movie. Excellent movie. Obviously, it's excellent because I selected it. And so it'll be a great movie. It's true. It's a true story, and I'm not going to tell you more than that. You got to come and see it. All right. 1 John 3. Let's start the corrected translation. At the second half of verse 10, this is where 1 John 3, 10b is where the greatest dissertation on virtue, love, and the Word of God is presented by the Apostle John. 1 John 3:10b. Anyone who does not do righteousness, that is, produce grace righteousness, sacred honor, integrity, virtue, he absolutely is not a student, a disciple of God. Nor is anyone a student or disciple of God who does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love. Because this is the command, which command you have heard from the beginning, from the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the first advent, that we, all believers, should love one another with impersonal love for all. Verse 12. Absolutely not as Cain, who was motivated by the evil one, Satan, and he violently murdered his brother Abel. And for what reason did he murder him? Because his offerings, his production, kept on being human good and evil, worthless, degenerate. But the production and offerings of his brother Abel were righteous, grace righteous production of a mature believer. Verse 13. And brethren, stop being surprised or shocked if the world hates you. First class condition, and the world does hate you. Verse 14. We know that we have changed our residence away from death, cosmic death, to life, the spiritual life, because we keep on loving the brethren, fellow believers, with impersonal love for all. Now, anyone who does not love all fellow believers with impersonal love keeps on remaining in the sphere of cosmic death, Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Now that brings us to verse 15. The implications of cosmic death, the implications of living in the cosmic system. And this is addressed to believers. These are believers living in cosmic death and living in the cosmic system. 1 John 3:15, anyone who hates his fellow believer, and the word for hate in our passage is miseo. M-I-S-E long O. Miseo. Miseo is the Greek word that means to hate. It means to persecute in hatred, to detest, to abhor. We have an articular participle, which is substantival. That means it functions as a noun. So you translate it, the one who hates. And then when you combine that articular participle of meseo with pas, you translate it, anyone who hates. Anyone who hates. believers in cosmic death, living in the cosmic system, are entrapped in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Therefore, they have no spiritual life. They have no filling of the Spirit. They have no fellowship with God. They are very arrogant, self-centered. They are in cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance. And they have antagonism and hatred toward Bible doctrine and fellow believers. They're in cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred. Anyone who hates his fellow believer is a murderer. And the word for murder here is a special word, anthropoktonos. A-N-T-H-R, long O-P-O-K-T-O-N-O-S. That's a 25 center there. Anthropoktonos. It's a compound word made up of anthropos, man, and kateno, to kill or to put to death. So it literally means to kill a man. This is one of the Greek words that describes murder, committing murder. It's not found in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha, and it's only found two times in the God-breathed scriptures, and both times it's used by the Apostle John. In John 8:44, the Gospel of John, and in 1 John 3:15, our verse. John 8:44, in that verse, the devil is declared by our Lord Jesus Christ to be an anthropoktonos, a murderer from the beginning. And therefore, the believer in cosmic death, living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, he is a murderer when he commits the personal sin of hate for his fellow believer. He is a mental murderer as a result of arrogance, self-centeredness, in interlocking systems of arrogance, cosmic one, and antagonism toward Bible doctrine and fellow believers, the mental attitude sin of hate, cosmic two. The most obvious sign that you are in cosmic death, living in Satan's cosmic system, is the fact that you hate your fellow believer. The mental attitude sin of hate is mental murder. And the Lord Jesus Christ taught this in Matthew 5, 21 and 22. So our verse says so far, and anyone who hates his fellow believer is a murderer. And this is mental murder. Now the worst of all overt sins is murder. Proverbs 6, 16 to 19, we've studied that passage many times. We have seven sins mentioned there that are an abomination to the Lord. There's only one overt sin mentioned in those sins that are an abomination to the Lord. And that one, only one overt sin mentioned in that passage is murder. All the other sins mentioned in Proverbs 6, 16 to 19 are mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. These are all abominations to the Lord. Therefore, murder, Proverbs 6, 17, murder is an abomination to the Lord. The overt act of murder is criminal, sinful, and evil. Hatred is mental murder. It's arrogant, sinful, and evil. And every person has committed, every one of you here, every one of you has committed the mental attitude sin of hate at some time in your life. When you do this as a believer, you have hit the hurdle of people testing. You have crashed and burned. You have failed to fulfill the mandate to love one another and to love all mankind with impersonal love. We are commanded to love our fellow believer with impersonal love and to love all mankind with impersonal love. Impersonal love for all is the solution to all people testing. You can only clear the hurdle of people testing by having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And that is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, 1 John 2, verse 5. Believers murder fellow believers. How do they do that? With mental attitude sins of hatred, mental murder, verbal assassination, sins of the tongue. So a question, how do believers become murderers? How do believers in Jesus Christ become murderers? And the answer, by being in the sphere of cosmic death, living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. So far, we have in exegesis, anyone who hates his fellow believer is a murderer, mental murder. Now, hate, unfortunately, is not confined to the unbeliever. 1 John 3:13, stop being surprised or shocked if the world hates you. Now, we're not surprised or shocked that unbelievers hate us or that Satan hates us. But we are, a lot of believers are surprised and shocked when fellow believers hate you. Fellow members of your family hate you. Friends hate you. So, stop being surprised and shocked if the world hates you. Believers also hate. And they even hate fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And such a believer is disastrously out of touch with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he experiences only death, cosmic death. That's 1 John 3. 14b, anyone who does not love all fellow believers with impersonal love keeps on remaining in the sphere of cosmic death, Satan's cosmic system. Also, Romans 8, verse 13. Romans 8, 13 says, for if you live according to the sin nature, you will die. You are in cosmic death. So, a couple of things here just by way of introduction. One, the key to the last half of verse 15 is the verb meno. And you should be, you're an enlightened congregation because right from the get-go I have pointed out that this is the word that the Apostle John uses all throughout this epistle of 1 John. Meno and agape. Agape referring to virtue love and meno describing abiding, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. So the key to the last half of verse 15 is the verb meno. Two, meno is the Apostle John's special word that is used to describe the believer living the unique spiritual life. Meno is the Apostle John's special word that is used to describe the believer, one, living the unique spiritual life, two, the believer in fellowship with God, three, the believer filled with the Spirit, four, the believer having virtue love brought to completion in his heart. So meno is the Apostle John's special word that is used to describe the believer living the unique spiritual life, the believer in fellowship with God, the believer filled with the Spirit, the believer having virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. Three, John is not saying that someone who hates his fellow believer does not possess eternal life. He doesn't say that. John is not saying that someone who hates his fellow believer does not possess eternal life. Now the sad thing is we got so many pastors today in pulpits, and only thing they ever teach from is a translation. They stop. Even if they were trained in a seminary in the languages, they don't use it. They just go to a translation and they get all screwed up. And then they screw up the congregation, screw up anybody who listens to them. John is not saying that someone who hates his fellow believer does not possess eternal life. Principle number one, and you all know these things, it is impossible for any believer to lose his salvation by committing some sin. It is impossible for any believer to lose his salvation by committing some sin. And most people don't even know what are the sins that are an abomination to the Lord. There are a lot of believers that think the worst sin of all is booze. Well, man, where are a lot of people going to go to hell after New Year's? There's other people who think that the worst sin of all is the fornication. That's not in Proverbs 6:16-19. There's no fornication there. That's not an abomination to the Lord. There's no booze there. There's only one overt sin, murder. Oh, guess what are the sins that are an abomination to the Lord? Mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Judging, slandering, maligning, gossiping. Those are sins that are an abomination to the Lord. Mental attitude sins, hatred, anger, arrogance. Those are sins that are an abomination to the Lord. Six of the seven are mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Only one is an overt sin, and that is murder. So it is impossible for any believer to lose his salvation by committing some sin. Principle number two. Every believer has eternal security, regardless of the good or bad decisions that he makes. Every believer has eternal security, regardless of the good or bad decisions that he makes. And again, this is you know this. After 47 years of communicating the Word of God, you have this down. This is a slam dunk for you. So every believer has eternal security regardless of the good or bad decisions that he makes. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you commit the mental attitude sin of hate, mental murder, or the criminal sin of overt murder, you will always have eternal security and will live with God forever in heaven. So in the last half of 1 John 3:15, when it says, "And ye know that no murderer has eternal life abiding, menowing in him." That's the last half. Ye know that no murderer has eternal life menowing in him, abiding in him. That last half of verse 15 is not teaching that you will lose your salvation if you commit murder, whether it's mental murder of hate or the overt murder of crime. Now, one of the great examples of a believer, and you know, even at Dallas Seminary when I was there, there were professors that really had a problem with David. And when David murdered Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite, they had all kinds of trouble to try to explain that. They thought, well, he couldn't have been a believer. Yes, when he did it, he was a spiritually mature believer. He was the king promoted by the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest king ever in Israel. Yeah, he got into the cosmic system. He saw Bathsheba taking a bath, and at that time you took your bath on top of your house. You don't do that today. She was taking her bath on top of the house, and he took a look and goes, "Woo!" Old sin nature popped up. Yeah. And then he committed adultery with her. And then she got pregnant. And her husband was in the military. And so David tried to hide the whole situation, brought Uriah home, and told Uriah, go up and spend time with your wife to try to cover the fact that she was pregnant by him. And Uriah the Hittite had great, great honor. He had honor and virtue, sacred honor. He refused. He said, my men are serving in the field in battle. I am not going to go up with my wife while they are on the battlefield serving in war. He refused. So he went back. Well, that plan of David failed. So he decided, well, I'll put him in a position where he'll be guaranteed to be killed. And he put Uriah in that situation, and Uriah the Hittite was killed. David murdered Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's husband. First, he committed adultery with Bathsheba, then he murdered her husband. He was living in Satan's cosmic system. Was he a believer in Jesus Christ? Yes. In fact, he was a spiritually mature believer. Can spiritually mature believers get into the cosmic system and commit adultery and murder? Absolutely, and David did. David is one of the greatest believers in the Old Testament scriptures. Israel's greatest king. The human author of most of the Psalms. And the Bible says he was a man after the Lord's own heart. Yes, David committed a sin that was an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 6:17. Murder. And he received extensive installment discipline from the Lord. But he did not lose his salvation. So point four. The last half of 1 John 3:15. Does not say that someone who hates his fellow believer does not possess or have eternal life. It doesn't say that. The last half of 1 John 3:15 does not say that someone who hates his fellow believer does not possess or have eternal life. But rather, what it does say is that he does not have eternal life mellowing, abiding in him. What it does say is that he does not have eternal life mellowing or abiding in him. Five. For the Apostle John Christ himself is eternal life. All right, let's go all the way back to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now, I don't know when I started teaching 1 John. It might have been 15 years ago. I don't know. So maybe some of you haven't been filled in all the way through John on his teaching about, first of all, special titles that he gave the Lord Jesus Christ, and also meno and agape. 1 John 1, 1 and 2. What kept on existing from the beginning, the first advent of Jesus Christ, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we observed and our hands have touched, the very body of Jesus Christ in his hypostatic union, this we proclaim about the Word of Life. This is the first title he gives to Jesus Christ. The Word of Life. Verse 2. In fact, the life, and this is the second title he gives of Jesus Christ, the life. First of all, the Word of Life. 1 John 1, 1. And then, verse 2, the life. In fact, the life, Jesus Christ, was revealed. And we have seen him and testify concerning him, and we keep on proclaiming to you the eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the eternal life, that very one who always existed face to face with the Father, God the Father, and who was revealed to us. The third title John gives of Jesus Christ, he is the eternal life. And then he explains, so you don't have any misconceptions, who is the eternal life? That very one who always existed face to face with the Father, God the Father, and who was revealed to us. That's how he started 1 John. And then he's still bringing this up at the end of 1 John. 1 John 5, verse 20. 1 John 5, 20. At the conclusion of 1 John, he starts out with Jesus Christ as the eternal life. And he says in verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding in order that we might know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, even eternal life. So he started out declaring that Jesus Christ has this special title, the eternal life. And he concludes in chapter 5 that he had, with that same title, the eternal life. So for the Apostle John, Christ himself is the eternal life. Sixth, John's statement in 1 John 3:15 is saying that no murderer has Christ abiding in him, menoing in him. John's statement is saying that no murderer has Christ abiding in him. Seven, he has no intimate fellowship with God the Father, nor with the Lord Jesus Christ, which the word meno teaches. He has no intimate fellowship with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, which the word meno teaches. 8. Christ, the eternal life, has not made himself at home in his heart. The one who hates his fellow believer. Because he has no spiritual life, no fellowship with God, as long as he is in the sphere of cosmic death. Christ, the eternal life, has not made himself at home in his heart because he has no spiritual life, no fellowship with God, as long as he is in the sphere of cosmic death. So, verse 15 says so far, anyone who hates his fellow believer is a murderer, mental murder. And then it says, and ye know that. This is the conjunction chi plus the perfect active indicative of oida plus the conjunction ha ti. Chi is a connective chi, correctly translated and then the special word oida. And again, most of you are filled in on this word, O-I-D-A, oida. Oida is a frozen form. It's a perfect used as a present. It literally means you have learned Bible doctrine in the past with the result that you know doctrinal truth now in the present. That is, you know from metabolized doctrine in your heart that no murderer has eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ, abiding in him. You know that. John taught this over and over and over and over and over again. You know that any believer who hates his fellow believer is in the sphere of cosmic death, and therefore he has no spiritual life. He has no intimate fellowship with God the Father. He has no intimate fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, abiding, menoing in him. The Apostle John has taught his congregation these doctrines again and again and again, which you have to do with congregations. Don't say, when I was at Dallas Seminary, I'd go to Houston and Barracas whenever I could, and I would hear people in Barracas complaining about the colonel, that he all he did was repeat, repetition. They're talking about one of the great minds, and they're maligning and slandering this pastor for repeating, repetition. Well, you know what? Pastors have to do that because the dadgum congregation is so hard-headed, nothing can get through their thick skull. And somewhere down the line, maybe 50, 100, 1,000, the light goes on. Oh! And I'm not teaching you so you'll remember it. I'm teaching you so you'll never, ever forget it. So we have oida, the frozen form. Corrected translation, and you have learned Bible doctrine in the past with the result that you know this doctrinal truth now in the present. And then you have the word that. That's hati. Now after verbs of decendi, verbs of knowing, thinking, saying, hati is not a causal conjunction, it introduces an object clause, and you translate it that. And then we have no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. This is the adjective pos plus the nominative singular of anthropoktenos plus the present active indicative of echo with the objective negative ouk plus the accusative singular of zoe modified by the accusative singular of ionios plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of autos, and the present active participle of meno. Now, aren't and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 636, says pas, combined with the objective negative ouk and with the noun anthropotinos, is correctly translated no murderer. No murderer. That's how this is to be translated. Pas ouk anthropotinos. No murderer. No believer living in cosmic death. No believer in the living in Satan's cosmic system as a result of hating his fellow believer has eternal life, the eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ abiding, menowing in him. Echo means to have. No believer in cosmic death, no murderer, no believer who hates his fellow believer has zoe ionias. That's Z long O long E A I long O N I O S. Zoe Ionios, eternal life. Who is the eternal life? Well, John told us. 1 John 1, 1 and 2. The eternal life, a special title for the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life, menowing in him, intimate fellowship with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have in this verse, meno. Now John's congregation, this is a slam dunk in his congregation, because he has taught and taught and taught and explained this verb. He is the only apostle that uses this to describe the unique spiritual life of the church age. Meno means to remain, to stay, to reside, to abide. Meno is the Apostle John's key word for living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. That's his word, meno. It is John's key word for having intimate fellowship with God the Father, intimate fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is his key word for having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ. Meno! So the corrected translation, no murderer. A and G, page 636. Pas plus ouk plus anthropotinos, no murderer has the eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ, abiding in him. He has no intimate fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He's in cosmic death. He's in cosmic death. He's living in the cosmic system. Interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. No murderer. Whether it's mental murder or overt murder. No murderer has the eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ, abiding in him. He has no intimate fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in case you weren't here when we started teaching 1 John, this is where I went back and I thought, you know what? I just saw some people gave me some looks and I go, oh, shit. I went back into my office and I went through. I said, I am going to go through. I'm going to take them through. I don't know how many years we've been in 1 John, but I'm going to take you through all of it now. So let's review John's use of meno in 1 John and his special title that he gives to the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal life. In fact, he gives him three titles right at the beginning of 1 John, 1 John 1, 1 and 2. He gives them the title, the eternal life, the word of life, the life. All three of those titles are given to Jesus Christ by the Apostle John in 1 John 1, 1 and 2, right when he's getting started on this. So, point one. In 1 John 1, 1 and 2, the Apostle John declares that the Lord Jesus Christ has three special titles. He is called the Word of Life, he is called the Life, he is called the Eternal Life. So in 1 John 1, 1 and 2, the Apostle John declares that the Lord Jesus Christ has three special titles. The Word of Life, the Eternal Life. Again, 1 John 1, 1, what kept on existing from the beginning, that is the first advent of Jesus Christ, his hypostatic union, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have observed and our hands have touched Jesus Christ in his hypostatic union. This we proclaim about whom? About the Word of Life, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, verse 2, in fact, the life, the Lord Jesus Christ, was revealed, and we have seen him and testify concerning him, and we keep on proclaiming to you the eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the eternal life? That very one who always existed face to face with the Father and who was revealed to us. So he starts out 1 John with three special titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of Life, the Eternal Life. 2. The one who claims to abide in Christ, meno, every time you hear abide, the Greek word here is meno. The one who claims to abide, to meno, in Christ, is obligated to live the spiritual life just as the Lord Jesus Christ lived the spiritual life. The one who claims to abide in Christ is obligated to live the spiritual life just as the Lord Jesus Christ lived the spiritual life. If you're living in the cosmic death, in the cosmic system, then you're not living the spiritual life as the Lord Jesus Christ lived the spiritual life. 1 John 2:6. 1 John 2:6. The one who claims to abide, to meno, in him, in Christ, is obligated himself to keep on walking, that is, keep on living the spiritual life, just as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, walked or lived the spiritual life. 1 John 2:6. So the one who claims to abide in Christ is obligated to live the spiritual life just as the Lord Jesus Christ lived the spiritual life. Meno, that special word for living the spiritual life. 3. The Lord Jesus Christ is not only given the title the eternal life, but he is also the light. He is also the light. 1 John 1:5. And this is the message, which message we have heard from him. From whom? From the Lord Jesus Christ. And we keep on proclaiming to you that God is light. God the Father is light. God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is light. And in him is absolutely no darkness at all. So the Lord Jesus Christ is not only the eternal life, he is also the light. Point 4. Therefore, the one who loves his fellow believer with impersonal love for all abides, menos, in the light, the Lord Jesus Christ, by living the spiritual life. Therefore, the one who loves his fellow believer with impersonal love for all, menos, abides in the light, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light, living the spiritual life. 1 John 2:10, the one who keeps on loving his brother, fellow believer with impersonal love for all, habitually abides in the light, abides in Christ, living the spiritual life. 1 John 2:10. The one who keeps on loving his brother, fellow believer with impersonal love for all, habitually abides in the light, abides in Christ through living the spiritual life. Point five. If the word of God abides, menos, in you, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, then you will also abide, meno, in the Son and in the Father. If the Word of God, menos, in you, abides in you, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, then you will also, meno, abide in the Son and in the Father. 1 John 2:24. As for you, positive believers, what Bible doctrine you have heard from the beginning, that Bible doctrine must keep on menoing, abiding in you. If that Bible doctrine you have heard from the beginning keeps on menoing, abiding in you, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, you also will abide, meno, in the Son. Occupation with Christ as a result of living the spiritual life, and you will keep on abiding in the Father. Personal love for God the Father as a result of living the spiritual life. 1 John 2:24. So if the Word of God, menos, abides in you, maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, then you will also, meno, abide in the Son, and meno, abide in the Father. 1 John 2:24. 6. The church age believer who keeps on abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, he will have confidence at the judgment seat of Christ and not be put to shame. The church age believer who keeps on abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, he will have confidence at the judgment seat of Christ. Why will he have confidence? Because he's been living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. He's a winner believer. And therefore, he will not be put to shame. There will be a lot of believers put to shame at the judgment seat of Christ because they're living in cosmic death, Satan's cosmic system. 1 John 2:28, and now, dear children, congregation of believers, keep on menoing, keep on abiding in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, keep on living the spiritual life. Why? For the purpose that when he appears, the rapture, we might have confidence. That's the winner believer. Living the spiritual life, having virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. That we might have confidence and might not be disgraced. That's the loser believer. Living in the cosmic system, cosmic death. That's the believer who hates his fellow believer. And not be disgraced and put to shame by him, Jesus Christ, in his presence at the judgment seat of Christ. Point seven. The church age believer who keeps on abiding in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, he is not sinning. When you're living the spiritual life, you're not sinning. You're filled with the Spirit. If you were sinning, you would be in the cosmic system grieving the Spirit, quenching the Spirit. But the church age believer who keeps on abiding in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, he is not sinning. 1 John 3:6. Anyone who keeps on menoing, abiding in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He is not sinning. However, anyone who sins is not seeing him. He's blinded to Christ, nor does he know him. Let's amplify this. One, he is not sinning because he is living the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God. That he's living the Spirit-filled life. He is not sinning because he is living the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God. He is living the Spirit-filled life. And he is living by the power of the Word of God in his heart. Maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. Subpoint two. However, the believer living in the cosmic system is overtaken by spiritual blindness. Anyone who sins is not seeing him. He's blinded to Christ. The believer living in the cosmic system is overtaken by spiritual blindness. He doesn't appreciate what the Lord did for him on the cross. There is no motivation to live the spiritual life while you're living in Satan's cosmic system. Subpoint three. The believer who sins and enters the cosmic system is not only overtaken by spiritual blindness, but he is also ignorant of who and what the Lord Jesus Christ is. The believer who sins and enters the cosmic system and cosmic death is not only overtaken by spiritual blindness, but he is also ignorant of who and what the Lord Jesus Christ is. Subpoint four, the believer will only come to know the Lord Jesus Christ when he obeys his mandates to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. The believer will only come to know the Lord Jesus Christ when he obeys his mandates to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. 1 John 2, verse 3. And by means of this, we know that we have come to know him. Occupation with Christ and personal love for God the Father, if we obey his mandates, his commandments. 1 John 2, verse 3. And by means of this, we know that we have come to know him. Occupation with Christ and personal love for God the Father, if we obey his commandments. Subpoint 5. The one who claims to know him, but does not obey his mandates to live the spiritual life, that person is a liar. That believer is a liar. And the absolute truth of the Word of God is not in him. The one who claims to know Jesus Christ but does not obey his mandate to live the spiritual life, he is a liar and the absolute truth of the Word of God is not in him. 1 John 2, verse 4. The one who keeps on claiming that I know him, I know God the Father, I know the Lord Jesus Christ, but does not obey his commands is a liar and the absolute truth of the Word of God is not in him. He has little or no metabolized doctrine in his heart or in the cosmic system. He distorts the truth of the Word of God. So, in 1 John 3, verse 6, the believer who keeps on abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, he is not sinning. He is not sinning because he's filled with the Spirit. He's living the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God and by the power of the Word of God in his heart. Okay, I'm just beginning to fight. We're only 1 John 2, just barely got to 1 John 3. This is what I spent redoing the whole thing because I looked at some of your faces and I go, I am going to go back and take them right through. You see, over and over and over, the key to 1 John, how many times you heard me say this? Menno, you know this. Most believers absolutely do not. In fact, if they hear a word that is not English, they just about fall out of their chair. Now, this is really fun for me. I hope this is really fun for you, because we're just halfway through. Wait till we finish going all the way through. And if you still look at me the way you do, come back and see me. I'll just shoot you. Put you out of your misery, and I will be happy too at that point. After I rebound, I mean, I haven't lost my salvation because I murdered you, see. I have eternal security. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.